Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Hey, y'all do me a favor, show some love to Jeremy Spencer, putting that video together. If you don't know Jeremy, Jeremy is he's some of the best we have to offer here at Awaken Church. I'm in a men's group with Jeremy every single week, love that guy. And we yell at basketball games together too, because our daughters both play for West Ashley High. So we ask forgiveness for what we say at men's group. Hey, listen, if we haven't had a chance to meet, my name's Brandon, I'm the pastor here at Awaken. And you've walked into a series that we've decided to call Stand on Business, where we're talking about the fight that we're all in, the spiritual fight that we're all in of really good versus evil, truth versus lies, God versus Satan. And if that seems made up or that seems like a fairy tale, I'm gonna dive into scripture in just a minute to outline a passage of scripture where Paul really teaches on this. Apostle, a church planter, a missionary, teaches on what it means to understand that we're in a spiritual battle in this life. The struggle against good, the struggle against evil, and recognizing that there's a way that we can actually armor up, there's a way that we can be prepared to fight this fight. And there's really two camps in the room this morning. If you're here this morning, some of you would say, hey, I'm a Christian. You've made a decision to follow Jesus. And you would say, man, I'm fighting this spiritual fight from a place of victory. I believe in Jesus. And so your approach to life is a little different than those in the other camp. If you're in the other camp, you would say, I'm not really a Christian yet. Like, I got questions. Maybe you have some doubts. Maybe you're exploring the Christian faith, or you've accepted an invitation to church today. I want to encourage you, because what we're talking about today is the concept of faith and the purpose of faith. And Paul calls it a shield of faith. So I want to read the passage of scripture that I'm going to be breaking down for us. It's out of Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 13. You can follow along in your own Bibles, or these verses will be on the screen. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, and I'll just stop right there. Therefore, what he basically says, we're in a fight against, not against flesh and blood, but we're in a fight against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the wrestling match on this stage and how it's not a one-punch knockout, but it's this nagging, ongoing fight that we're all in. Paul says you're in a wrestling match against evil, against flesh, against sin. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all else, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Your translation may say arrows. And what I want to talk about today is what the strategy is for us being able to defend ourselves against these flaming arrows, these flaming darts that the enemy flies our way. And to make sense of it, we have to understand the context of what Paul's even talking about, right? There's the content of what's being shared, but like, who is he saying this to, and what is the environment or the setting, the context of this being shared? And so Roman soldiers or the Roman army would have been everywhere in society. I want you to imagine right now if you left church and you went to Tanger Outlets and you pulled up on Tanger and the U.S. military was there strapped with AK-47s in camouflage just walking around. Be a little weird, wouldn't it? Some of you are like, yeah, bring that. If you pulled up, you're like, that's awkward. And then imagine you left there and you went to another mall and they were there, and you went to a restaurant and they were there. And like, if our military was actually everywhere that we went, I would imagine that we would understand some of these terms a little better. Well, for Paul and the Romans, the soldiers would have been all throughout the city. Like, if you walked through the town square, you would see like Romans posted up. You would see soldiers posted up, fully armored out, like they would have their gear on. And if they were in battle, you would see them armored up, lined up in sequence, going off to war. And so these analogies of outfits, these analogies of shields and swords and belts and helmets, they understood this stuff. And when we start talking about shields and arrows, to give some context of why this is important, most battle was hand-to-hand combat. They didn't have guns like we have today. They didn't have planes and bombs like we had today. Like back in the first century, most of it was hand-to-hand combat. It's meeting in the trenches. I want you to think about like the story of David and Goliath, battle lines drawn up, they engage in fighting. But one of the tactics that you could use so that you didn't have to engage in hand-to-hand combat was the use of arrows. And I don't want to overcomplicate this. You guys have all seen bow and arrow, right? You pull back a bow, you shoot an arrow, it flies past enemy lines, and it lands. Most of our context of a bow and arrow, we think that arrow would be used to pierce someone's body and take them out. That's not the arrows that we're talking about. What Paul is talking about is a tool, a weapon, a strategy that the Romans used to actually burn down cities. I want you to imagine an arrow constructed in the same way, but on the tip of this arrow, there being like a welded box, a cage, if you will. Because if you just lit a normal arrow and, you know, launched that thing, the wind, the velocity in the wind would put the fire out. But what the Romans would do was they put these little welded cages on the front of these arrows, and inside that cage, they would put like hot coals. And so when they fired this particular weapon, and they sent that arrow, that flaming arrow or flaming dart, as the Bible says it, the hot coal would actually heat up in the air because of the air hitting it. And when it landed, it would set whatever it landed on fire. They would also put rags. They would dip it in tar like a pitch or in oils, and they would set that on fire, launch those in. And so the intent of these arrows that Paul's talking about is not necessarily to kill somebody. The intent of these fiery arrows is to be launched over opponents' front line and into cities to basically burn the thing down. It's to cause chaos. I want you to imagine sleeping, and you're in the middle of a battle, and the day of fighting is done. And imagine the whole camp's asleep. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear, and you look over, and you're like, dadgum, a tent's on fire, right? And there's all these fires that are starting in the camp. That's what Paul's talking about. He's like, hey, there's different schemes of the enemy in this battle that we're a part of. And one of those schemes is the enemy will launch these arrows, and they land in a place where you can't see them coming. You don't expect them to hit. And when they do land, fires actually start and damage takes place and destruction ensues. How do we and how can we contend against that? Paul says the answer is take up your shield of faith. Now, I've got a shield here Dylan's going to give to me. Y'all help me thank Dylan real quick. Hey, this is heavy. This is heavy, by the way. You made that look light. So this is not a shield that a Roman soldier would use. This is a police riot shield. All right, let's get that out of the way. However, it's constructed very similar. It's about 2 foot wide by about 3.5, 4 foot tall. And the purpose of this shield, from what Paul says in a military sense, is to extinguish or to put out the fiery arrows from the enemy. He says the shield is faith. This is your faith, right? So, but how do you, what is this made of spiritually? Like, I know you're holding a physical shield on stage, Pastor Brandon, but like, what does it mean spiritually when he says to take up your shield of faith? And that's what I want to camp on today, because if we can figure out what that needs to be in our lives, then we can better contend against these attacks from Satan in our lives, the things that come against us and cause damage and cause destruction and in many ways cause death. And so that's what I want to talk about today. I've got the title of this sermon is called Shake Off Your Shield, because I believe we've got some Christians in the room that have taken this shield of faith and cast it aside or laid it down or let it go for a variety of reasons. And really, this message today is more for the believer in the room, more for the one who would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but maybe I've drifted or I've backslidden, and today I need to come back. This message is particularly directed at you. I was talking to a man after the first service, and he said, hey, that message just, that was exactly what I needed to hear. And I said, well, tell me why, right? Because sometimes people just tell pastor things he likes to hear. I was like, well, tell me why. And he said, well, I just got put on disability from employment, and there's just some struggles with certain medical things, and he's got to pass certain tests to be able to get approval to keep that going, and it's hard to do that because of current health conditions that won't allow him to cut the weight needed to meet these. And he's like, man, I've just been struggling. Like, I'm in this place of, like, not believing, and I'm just having a really hard time. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's a real life situation where, like, it's hard to have faith in a good God who has good purposes and a good plan for your life when everything in front of you doesn't look that way. And so maybe you're here this morning and you would say, hey, I've had a knock to my faith. I've had a knock to my shield. I'm not where I once was, and I am struggling to believe, and I have a lot of doubts, and I have some frustrations. Well, I hope this message today encourages you to shake off your shield. I want to talk for a second about what it's made of. And this is really the first point in the message. When Paul says that this is a shield of faith, what he means is this shield has to be made up of the promises of God. The promises of God. If I were to ask you right now, what is your faith made of? Like, why do you believe what you believe? I'd get a variety of answers in this room. Like, some of you would say, well, I believe in God because my grandma taught me to believe in God. And my mom taught me to believe in God. And I've just been going to church since I was born, right? I've heard it said, man, I was a Christian since I was pre-9 months, you know? Like, at conception, I was a Christian. And I've been in church my whole life. And some of you would say, I've just been born in it. That's just who I am. Others of you would say, well, I had an experience with God back when I was a teenager or a college student. There was this moment where he made himself real to me. And those are powerful moments. I have one myself back when I was in college where it's distinctly, I just heard from God, changed my life. For some of you would say, well, there was this season of my life where I felt drawn closer to him and I got pulled a little closer and it was an experience, right? It was a season and all the emotions that came with that. And this is not in any way to discount those moments in our lives, those emotions and those moments. But I do want to caution us, because if a moment shapes our faith, then there's another moment that can dismantle our faith. If an experience is what makes God real to us, then the enemy can throw another experience at us that can make God not as real to us. And if our faith is based on feelings, right, or these emotions, then what ends up happening is those emotions can become very fleeting. And so when life gets difficult or discouraging, we can start to back off our faith. And it makes things quite hard. That's why it's important that our shield of faith is actually made up of the promises of God. And I want to read a couple of them for you. These aren't going to be on the screen. This is just, on Friday, I was like, what are some dead set promises from God's word that are practical? Here's the first one, presence. God's presence in your life. Joshua 1:9 says, this is my command, be strong and courageous and don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Jesus would later say, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. You go, well, why is this so important? Well, because in life, sometimes we can go through things and we can start wondering, well, does God really care? Is he there? And if you have a faith built on God's promises and you recite that promise, you can extinguish and shut down that arrow that comes from the enemy. Maybe you're here and you're going, look, I don't have purpose. Like, I've made some decisions in my life that didn't make sense. They were dumb. I regret them. I don't really know what I'm doing right now. I'm kind of floundering around and I'm not meeting people's expectations. And I just wonder, like, does God really have a plan or a purpose for my life? Can I read a promise to you that your shield can be comprised of? Here it is in Ephesians 2:10. God's promise. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, with which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when you get hit, do I have a purpose? You go, yes. God created me and he has good works for me to do. What about those that are struggling with anxiety, depression in the room? It's rampant. That's why we talk about it a lot. Can I give you a promise from God's word around what to do with anxiety when you don't have peace? Philippians 4:7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a promise. So when anxiety hits, you hold a shield up and you go, no, I know God. I'm inviting him into the situation. I'm not going to replace prayer with pills. I'm going to believe that his peace will meet me in this moment. That's having faith that's built on promises, not feelings. What about if you're wondering if you're loved here today? By the way, this shield's very heavy. Maybe you're here today and you're like, look, I don't feel loved. Like I know the things that I do. I feel like this God is distant and far off. I feel like his love's conditional for me based on how good I behave or what good works I do. Can I just read a promise that you can put into your shield and hold up? Found in Romans 8:38-39. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Church, that's a good news promise to put in your shield of faith, because it says there's nothing that you can do to break God's love for you. That's a shield of faith. Maybe you're here and you're wondering, hey, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do in my life. I'm struggling. You know, James tells us that if we ask God for wisdom, he's gracious and he will give it to us. It's a promise. Again, you build this up. You build your shield of faith based on the promises of God. It's not, again, bad to have experiences. It's not bad to have moments. But y'all, if we base our understanding and our faith in God on experiences that we have with God, we could become guilty of having an evidence-based faith, which means I've got to see God move in order to believe it. And that's not faith at all. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can't see. Which means that if I have to see it to believe it, that's not really faith. It's like if you were to leave today and you get in your car and you start driving. We'll all do that in some capacity, unless you walk or you rode a bus, which that happens too. But if you get in your car, you're starting it, and you go down the interstate, you're placing a lot of faith in the fact that your brakes will work. Now, you would say, well, I've braked before in that car. That's why I know they're going to work. I have confidence. But ultimately, you don't know. And I just sparked anxiety for some of y'all. You don't really know until you actually press the brakes, right? It's like flying on a plane, you know? You put a lot of faith in that pilot. Well, statistics say like it's going to make it, and it, God willing, will. But that's a lot of faith to actually get on that plane. Well, listen, when it comes to having a shield of faith, what you're doing is going, I'm going to build my shield based on the promises of God, even if I've not seen them come through in my life. It's based on the substance of who God is, not just what he does. Now, he's got a track record. His promises have never failed. But listen, just because God hasn't done something in your life yet that you're praying for doesn't mean that he's any less real. And so we have to be careful to let faith still be the thing that we hope for and being certain of what we can't see. I like to work on my own vehicles, by the way. It's something I've recently started doing. I used to always just take it to the shop. But finally, I was like, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. That's a dangerous train of thought. Because it's like, we're not going to surgery anymore. If they can do it, I can do it. YouTube, right? But I'm like, with the right tools and a little bit of confidence and patience and YouTube, I can figure out most things. And so not too long ago, I drive a Chevy Tahoe, and I had this like oil sensor that was bad. And so my check engine light was gone. And I was like, I'm going to fix that. And it was a lot harder than I thought. I ended up having to take a lot of the engine apart. And the sensor was in the very back. So I went through all this work in my garage, I mean, hours on hours, and finally got it out and finally got the sensor out. And when I priced out the sensor to get the original manufacturer's part from Chevy, it was like $95. I ain't paying that. I got Amazon. So I get on Amazon and I'm like, hey, I need an equivalent. Like, give me a, you know, what And so this part came up and it was like $26.11. I was like, bet on that, let's go. And it was made by like whatever. Like, so I order this thing, it comes in, and when it comes in, I wire it all up, put the whole engine back together, and I'm feeling very accomplished. And then there's that moment of truth where you gotta turn the key, and I'm like, either Ashley's gonna love me or hate me, because this thing's gonna work or blow up in our garage. And I turn it, it starts, but the same thing. Check engine light. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So I call the dealership, Savannah Highway. And I'm like, hey, can I talk to somebody, you know, in the maintenance service? Yeah, service manager. I get to him and I'm like, hey, I got a question. Yep. I was like, I explained to him everything that happened, explained to him that it still didn't work. And inside he's probably like, that's why we exist, you know? And I told him, I was like, he's like, where'd you get the part from? I was like, Amazon. He's like, see, that's your problem. I mean, I should have expected a lecture. He's like, that's your problem. You order some overseas part, it's trash. You need to get something made in America. I'm like, you know, in the moment I'm like, you know, I pledge allegiance. I can just see the guy on the other line, you know? I'm like, I know what he looks like. I'm like, yeah, I need to buy something made in America, you know? Because he just goes on. He's like, it's just better. It's an original manufacturer. Like over there, it's trash. You don't know where it's coming from. And watch, especially electrical. I mean, gives me this whole lecture and I'm like, got it, cool. Yes, God bless America. And so I do. I order the original manufacturer part, made in America, replace it, and it worked. And man, I was thinking about this whole idea of what our faith is comprised of. And the truth is, I think it's really easy, especially in the cultural South. I think it's really easy to have this generic kind of Amazon-ish faith of, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's cheaper, it's easier. It's like, you don't put the work in it. So like, there's a difference between discipleship and decision. Like you can make a decision to follow Jesus. Discipleship is like, I'm actually gonna put the work in to figure out what that looks like. I'm gonna put the work in to study in God's word, to know his promises, so my life is built on that, versus some like flimsy experiences, right? Like, and I think it's just, maybe for some of you, some of the struggles or the difficulty is coming from this place of like, you've embraced this faith that's just outsourced and it's generic and it's cheaper. And the work hasn't been put, you're like, well, it's not about work. And I would say it's not about work. Listen, there is an aspect of like knowing this so that you can push back against the enemy, knowing God's promises so you can discern the attacks from the enemy, knowing what his word says that when something is said counter to that, you're able to go, that's actually false. That's not true. That's not what God says about me. Because what the enemy does is he shoots these arrows in and he's not taking you out. I mean, that's why you're still here. But what he's doing is he's allowing these little fires to get started in your life, right? Comes in, you're like, man, things were good, but like, why is there dissension in my relationships? And why am I like frustrated? And why can't I forgive people? And where is this coming from? And you go, well, if you go to God's word, it tells you exactly what to do and how to handle that. But because you're not in his word and you don't know what it has to say, all these fires are sparking up over here. And those situations are actually damaging your faith. Or you're over here and you're like, man, life's going great. I feel like I'm getting out of college and getting a job. And before you know it, you're like, man, I lost the job. The life didn't turn out like I thought it was gonna be. Like everyone said I should be this and success had this picture in my mind, but I'm not walking in that right now. So I feel like I'm kind of floundering and kind of wasting away. And well, if you knew God's promises, you know that he's working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. You can claim that promise. And even though life doesn't look good, you can claim it will be good because you follow a good God. But if you don't have that, then what happens is these little fires get started up in your life and they become discouraging and your faith starts to dwindle. That's why it's so important to have shields of faith that are made up of the promises of God. Last fall, I went through a tough season, man, as like a pastor and just a leader. I started because of a variety of things. I started questioning in many ways, like, do I have what it takes? Which just so you know, for most men in the room, I'll just speak directly to my dudes, it's kind of the question we all ask, right? Like growing up, it's like, man, do I have what it takes to either be the athlete or do I have what it takes to make the grade? Or when I get in a job, like, do I have what it takes to like succeed? Do I have what it takes to be a good dad, a good husband? Like, those are just kind of questions we wrestle with. Well, as a pastor, you're not exempt from that. Like, I know God's word. I don't have it memorized, but I know a good bit of it. I preach it most every week of my life. But last August, last September, like, man, I was struggling. I was in a place of like, I don't have the same confidence or assurance that this is where I need to be and this is what I need to be doing. And I remember in that season having a hard time. I didn't really want to read God's word. It wasn't that I didn't believe it. It was just, man, I'm doing this right now because I need to. I was reading it out of duty. It wasn't out of delight. There is a difference, right? You can sit down, you can read through the whole Bible and just read it. Or you can sit down and have a conversation with God and say, speak to me, teach me. And I was in a place of like, I'm doing this out of duty. And I was just struggling. And I remember I was talking to a counselor who told me, hey, listen, this is what I've encouraged you to do. Because I shared with him like kind of this struggle of like, man, is this still for me? Is this forever? This is what I need to be doing. And the counselor said, hey, I want to encourage you when you pick up God's word, just read it until you get to a promise from God. Read it till you get to a promise. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And immediately, like, maybe it was sarcasm, but immediately like, I'll start in the book of Psalms. Psalms has promises and they come pretty fast, right? But I was like, you know what? No, I haven't read like Romans in a bit, so I'll just jump into Romans. And the first day that I actually applied that counsel, this is how far I got. Because in Romans chapter 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, right? And just right there, it's like, I'm 7 words in to reading God's word before a promise for me hits my heart. Paul didn't choose to be a missionary. Paul was called by God to be a missionary. I was reminded, I didn't choose to be a pastor. I didn't choose this career path. God put a calling on my life. And so in a time where my faith was hurting, or my confidence was hurting, I go to God's word for a promise, and God's word reminds me, again, his promises, that he's the one that calls, and he's the one that anoints, and he's the one, and his calling does not get revoked. And so what I needed in that moment was not like all this encouragement from people, although that's great. I needed God's word to speak life to me. I needed his promises to build up my faith. And that's why I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're here and you're going, look, I've got people in my life and I've got experiences in my life, but you don't actually have God's word in your life. Build your shield of faith based on the promises of God. And when the enemy comes, it'll stand. Second thing I want to encourage you with is this. Every shield of faith is meant to be carried. It's meant to be carried. If you were to go to battle and you had a shield like this and you didn't carry it, you would be called nothing short of foolish. Right? Like this is actually, let's just go modern day. This is a police riot shield. So imagine that you're an officer and you've reported for duty and you're lining the streets. This is typically how we see it on the news, right? Like imagine there's just 50 cops and they've all got these shields. Now imagine you show up as an officer and you're like, hey, what's up? I'm ready for the march. That could have been bad. You're like, all right, you show up and you're ready for the march, but like everybody's got a shield and you don't. What do you think their response would be? Like, oh, that's cool, man. Just walk with us. You know what you're going to get hit with? Get rocks, get bottles, get all kinds of stuff, right? Because that's meant to protect you. Well, the truth is, and the reason Paul says, hey, take up your shield, the reality is shields can be put down. And what's interesting about that is they go, why would you ever put a shield down in the midst of battle? Well, you don't have to hold this thing long to realize you get tired pretty quick. And y'all, faith fatigue is a very real thing. You go, what's faith fatigue? Faith fatigue is when you get tired and you get discouraged and you get depressed or you get worn down by the enemy or just life itself, right? You find yourself going, look, I want to believe and I want to have faith and I want, but like, I'm having a hard time right now. I'm having a struggle right now. And I just, man, it's not the same as maybe it once was. Like we go through seasons and we go through difficulties. Paul says, look, in all circumstances, verse 16, take up the shield of faith so you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up the shield of faith. People put it down for all kinds of reasons. Maybe you're here today and there's some struggle or an addiction that you have and it won't go away. And you've tried prayer, you've tried church, you've tried even sharing in a small group, but you're still dealing with the same stuff. It's hard to have faith God's gonna ever remove that when you're currently navigating through that. And so what ends up happening is you got this shield when you start, right? I'm good. But over time, man, I'm good. Man, I thought I was good. And then you lay it down. Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've been praying for this one person in my life to like actually be interested in the church and actually come to know Jesus. And I've been praying for him for days, weeks, years. Nothing's changed. Well, over time, what ends up happening is we start to what? Start to lose faith that God's actually gonna do anything in that person's life. And we'd never admit it to anybody, but we stop praying for him. Why? It's like, well, that's kind of a lost cause. Maybe you're here and you're like, look, I never saw the grief of that death or loss coming. Like, I got faith like crazy, but like, that hit me out of nowhere. And I've been trying and I've been holding it up and I've been still engaged in the battle, but like, preacher, if I'm honest, I'm really tired. I'm struggling. And I've laid my shield of faith down. This is what happens. Like, life has a way of these darts coming at us out of nowhere. And before we know it, the passion behind the faith that we have starts to get extinguished. And that's why Paul says, hey, take it up. Like, pick it up. Don't leave it down. You got to pick it up. And I know the response would be like, well, I can't. Like, I can't. Like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, and I'm tired, and I don't know what to do. What's fascinating is in the Roman army, they developed for the first time this strategy that's become known as the tortoise formation. And I've got a picture for you. I want you to see it. This is what it actually looked like. We're going to have it on the screens here in a second. There we go. This is essentially the tortoise formation where the shields that they actually had were linked together. So imagine you go into battle and before you know it, like, you got arrows coming in from everywhere. Well, what they would do is they would stand in a formation and they would link these shields together from the sides and the top. And so when battle happened, and if a soldier got tired, which did take place in the midst of a long battle, the point was if a soldier went down, whether by heat or whether by injury, whether by exhaustion, whatever, if a soldier went down, his shield was actually stayed connected and held up by the soldiers around him. And so even though he might be down, he's still protected because the shields around him and the guys around him are actually holding him up. Fast forward to the church. I want us to understand that Jesus designed the church for the exact same purposes. Like when you look at Acts chapter 2 in the early church, yes, they had big gatherings at the temple, and yes, they were serving the community, and they had feeding projects going on, and they were taking care of widows, and they were taking care of orphans. But you have this picture in Acts 2, 42 through 44, where they're in homes together, and they're praying together, and they're sharing meals together. There was this, we're gonna link arms together, because they were in a very oppressive environment. Like, the church was being oppressed and persecuted and killed. And so they knew, hey, there's gonna be times where my strength's not that strong. I need somebody to link arms with and link arms with and link arms with. And so that's the picture that we have of how we're supposed to have our shield of faith interlocked with somebody else. You go, well, what does that mean? It means, well, when you go through a season where you're struggling and you're too tired, you got faith fatigue and you can't hold your own shield of faith up, you got people around you that can go, hey, let me remind you of the promises of God. Let me remind you of what he's done. Let me remind you that there's never been a promise of God that's failed. Let me remind you of how far he's brought you. Let me remind you that he's got good plans and good purposes for you, right? You put people around you that can speak in God's promises. I call it borrowing their faith. You go, man, I don't have my own right now. I'm gonna borrow yours for a little bit. Can you help carry me in this season? And there's gonna be times where you may need to do that for somebody else or someone needs to do that for you. But that's why the church was actually designed. That's why if you try to navigate this life by yourself, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. I'll hear people say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Or I have a personal relationship with God, but I don't need the church. And here's what ends up happening. That may be true, but you're gonna engage in this fight by yourself and you're gonna hold your shield of faith up by yourself. Well, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time of holding this up before your arms get tired or you get hit with something you can't handle, and eventually your shield's gonna drop. And when your shield drops and comes down, the question's gonna be, who do you have around you to hold you up? Who do you have around you to protect you? Because the enemy wants to isolate you in such a way where you have no protection when you get tired and you get discouraged and your faith starts to diminish. So that's why I wanna invite you, church. The same way I'm in a group with Jeremy Spencer, who was on that video, you need a group, you need a relationship. You need other shields around you to protect you and to carry you and to encourage you when your faith starts to struggle. It begs the question today of what this means for us. Like maybe you're going, hey, what does this actually mean for me? And I told you earlier, this message is mostly designed for the Christian in the room who would say, man, I've just kind of drifted. Or maybe I'm in a season right now of difficulty where like my faith is struggling. And you would go, man, it's not what it was. Like one time I really believed, but then I had these things happen. Maybe you're here and you got doubts, you got questions about the goodness of God, even though you would say that you follow him. And today what I want to encourage you to do is to shake off your shield, because listen, you can borrow faith for a long time, but the Bible I read says you got to have your own. Like it's at the end of your day, it's not going to be good enough to go, well, I was connected to Brandon, or I was connected to Robbie, or I was connected to Chelsea, or I was connected to, you know, I was close to him. It's like, no, like, what's your faith? Like, do you believe God is who he is? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Is your faith in the substance of who Jesus is, or is it just borrowed from other people? In other words, one day it's like, well, I just grew up in church. I was always a Christian. My mom was a Christian. Dad was a Christian. Grandparents are Christians. It's like, well, yeah, but like, did you actually make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Did you establish your faith in him? This is what the Bible says about faith. Ephesians 2:4-8. We're told that, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God. So here's the reality this morning, church. As our shields of faith, we all have to hold one. And doesn't mean we don't get tired, doesn't mean that we don't lower it at times. But this is a reminder this morning to pick your shield back up, to build it on the promises of God. It's the protection that we need. And if we go, man, I need help establishing my life in that way, yeah, we all do. That's why the church was designed. And so I wanna encourage you, press into the church. Ask for that help that you need, because that's what Paul is actually talking about in this passage. We're gonna move into a time of response right now. And I'm gonna ask our prayer team if they'll just go ahead and get into place. And what we're gonna do during this time of response, maybe at the end of every service, is we're gonna sing a song that's called Same God. And this song really pulls on the promises from God's word, who he was, who he is, what he's done. And why these things still matter for us today, they're stories straight from scripture. And so maybe you're here today and you would say, look, my faith has been struggling and I just need prayer today. Man, can I just tell you, if you step out and go to the prayer team, what they're not gonna do is try to fix you. What they're not gonna do is just look at you with no response. I can tell you what the prayer team's gonna do is they're gonna remind you of God's promises over your life. They're gonna meet you where you are, whatever you're struggling with, whatever questions you might have, and they're gonna pray God's truth into your life, because that's what actually extinguishes these arrows from the enemy. And maybe you're here and for you today is, I just need to step out and ask for an increase in my faith because of something financial or because of something emotional or because of something physical or relational. Man, I just invite you today, step out and be bold. Let God minister through you, minister to you through his people this morning. And if you're here today and you would say, look, I need to take up faith for the first time. I need to begin a relationship with Jesus. You can let our prayer team know that too. I promise you, they can help you on that journey. So let's stand together. I want to pray for us, and then we'll just respond as God leads us today. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the reality that none of us earn relationship with you or earn salvation. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. So this morning, would you just increase faith in this room? Lord, for the one who's got questions because of life circumstances, would you just fill those questions and fill those doubts with confidence and assurance of who you are? God, for the one who questions their purpose, questions your plan for their life, I pray this morning they'd be reminded that they're in good hands and you've got plans to prosper them and not to harm them, plans that give them hope and not a future. For the one this morning who's struggling with anxiety, God, I pray that they would be reminded of your promise that we're not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, we make our requests known to you. And you give us a peace that transcends all understanding. God, for the one this morning that's struggling with forgiveness, I pray this morning they be reminded of the promise that we're forgiven to the measure, we forgive to the measure we've been forgiven. And when we forgive, there's peace. God, I just pray this morning that we would embrace your promises and that our faith would increase. And that our shields would be lifted up together as we engage in this battle. Lord, we love you, and I pray that you would move now during this response. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.